What do you think are more than the two, that which can experience and that which can be experienced? Can there be more than that? Anytime, anywhere?
I would think so.
What else?
Anything else outside of that circle, indeed, outside of our perception, outside of our experiencing. I think it's coming back to the tree in the forest, if we are there to hear it or not. Is this somewhat similar of a question?
You know, we're looking at the Dhamma here, realities, as the Buddha taught. You're talking about three falls in the forest. If there is no one hearing, if there is no hearing of the tree falling in the forest, then there is no experiencing of it. So in order to experience, for instance, sound, there must be something
that perceives it.
Yes, that would be ear door, and there must be something that experiences it, which we're saying is the mental phenomena, jitta, and there must be an object that jitta experiences, which is sound. So without the three of those coming together, there is no experience of sound. So in that sense, you can talk about the tree falling in the forest with no one there. But the world, in the ultimate sense, consists of mental phenomena, jitta, which experience things through what we call the sense doors. So there is seeing through the eye door, and seeing experiences, we call it visible object.
I think Ajahn's last question to you was, for a given individual, for you or me, at any moment, is there anything other than the experiencing of an object?
Sorry, your name again was? David, at the moment of touching, we've agreed that hardness is experienced. Apart from the touching and the hardness at this moment, is there anything else?
What do you mean, anything else? Have I been focusing just on the physical sensation?
With our terminology, now, we can talk about whatever appears, right? What appears now?
Visual object.
Okay, just one by one.
Sound.
Okay, visual object.
Sure.
Seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
By what? What sees it? There must be a reality which sees it. And usually we take the seeing for I see. But seeing cannot arise without conditions at all, without the ideas, without the visual object, without that which can experiencing. Even visible object cannot be seen as a reality, right? One moment. Can seeing hear?
No.
Can seeing smell?
No.
Can seeing think?
No.
So seeing is a moment in life, which sees, arising to see and then passing away instantly. Can that be I who sees? Because it's only a reality which arises from conditions, experiences and object and then passed away instantly, unknowingly, even right now. It's not the same moment of seeing from last moment to now. So seeing is not permanent, it's conditioned. Nobody can hold it, or nobody can make it rise. Nobody can stop its falling away at all. Right? Because at moment of hearing, it's not seeing. One moment at a time. Because the seeing cannot hear. So at moment of sound appear, it's not seeing which hears. It is another reality which can hear, not can see. Right now, many different realities arising and falling away by conditions. Nobody can make the eye best to arise, cannot make the ear best to arise, cannot have the tongue best to arise. All are conditioned to arise and fall away. unknowingly all the time from birth up to now, and on to death and on to next life by conditions. And this is what we take for life, birth. There must be a reality which can experience an object, otherwise it cannot be being at all. Table, wood, tree, mountain cannot experience anything. No life, see? But now seeing is animals see, human beings see. Seeing is not animal without shape and form. We cannot say that seeing is animal or human being or an elephant or an ant. Seeing is seeing itself. But when we think about shape and form, we think that an elephant is now seeing something or a human being is seeing something. But actually, seeing itself is seeing. It cannot be anything else. And it does not belong to anyone at all. Because it arises and falls away. It cannot hear, it cannot think, it just can see now.
Maybe I'm a little ahead of my time, but may I ask, inner visions? What do we do with inner visions or inner sound that's evoked by a person?
Okay. Before sound arises, do you hear sound?
Again, unless I evoke it in my head.
Thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard any sound at all in your life, can you think about it?
I doubt it.
Okay, just talk about that can be proven, like sound can be heard only when there is hearing. So one realizes there is a sound. Sound is real only when hearing arises.
Right.
If hearing does not arise, who can say that there is sound? Okay, and life is like this from moment to moment. Moment of seeing is not moment of thinking, not moment of hearing, not moment of tasting. It keeps on going. That which has gone cannot come back again. And so in reality there is no what we call like human being of things without realities. And realities which are conditioned to arise are not permanent at all.
And that's why my question, inner reality, does the teaching consider inner visions?
Thinking. Without thinking, there's no that object. So there must be seeing and thinking about what is seen, hearing and thinking about that which is heard, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking in one's life, only six doorways, not more than that. And all these are realities which do not belong to anyone at all. It arises from conditions. Without conditions, it cannot arise. Even thinking, we cannot exchange thinking because of the past experience. Condition the thinking. And this is Dhamma, which means whatever is real, it has its own characteristic. Nobody can change. Like hardness is arises to be hardness, to be hard. Nobody can change it into taste or sweet or bitter. Hardness is hardness. Seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing, thinking is thinking. Like is like, dislike is dislike. All realities of what we take for me in one's life are different realities. That's all. So what arises, what was born, and what dies, realities. So now, one by one, sound, what type or what kind of reality it is. That which can experience or that which cannot experience, that's all. You cannot change sound or you cannot have sound to think, to like or dislike. Sound is sound. Can you do anything?
Not in such conditions.
Mm-hmm. But can understand it. as it is. Seeing is seeing, that is the understanding of a reality which sees. Whenever it arises, it sees. What is permanent? Is there anything permanent?
I don't think so.
Whatever arises falls away, instantly, unknowingly, all the time. And this is Dhamma.
Okay, while David's absorbing all that, I'd like to ask a question of his friend, whose name is...
Anna.
Anna. My question would be, what is the significance, do you think, of identifying or talking in terms of the two kinds of reality, the ones that experience an object and the ones that don't experience anything? Any use, any value?
Well, I think it helps to, I guess, put us in the present to, like you say, concepts, the things that we often occupy ourselves thinking about are not actually real. They're not what is reality happening right now in the present. So I think thinking about these two realities help us to get us in the present and the now.
Help us to distinguish between what is actually real now and what is just imagined to be real. That's a good way to put it.
I think it's to help us get us into the present moment when most of our time is spent on conceptualizing reality. It's to help us realize that those are just concepts, not reality itself, and to help us understand what is reality.
Can the citta be without the mental faculties? Anything cannot arise alone by itself. There must be conditions for its arising, and they arise together.
So, Nibbana is a state that citta experience, right? And at that time, does the citta has mental faculties?
Whenever citta arises, it arises with cetasikas.
So if it says in the text, citta experiences the object, it means citta with the accompanying cetasikas. It includes the cetasikas always. So seeing cannot see visible object without the help of cetasikas, the mental factors.
When a person is shifting from the mundane to the Aryan, and
still just cheetahs experiencing their object accompanied by cheetah-seekers, whether mundane, supramundane, jhana, any cheetah has to be accompanied by at least seven cheetah-seekers.
Cheetah-seekers. So there will be just only seven cheetah-seekers?
No. At moments of seeing or hearing, there's seven cheetah seekers, but at moments of sobhana cheetahs, beautiful cheetahs, many more. 19.
But then being in Aryan and others.
Cheetah accompanied by cheetah seekers each moment. Cheetah never arises alone, ever. How could any kind of cheetah even need moments of enlightenment occur without wisdom and the Eightfold Path factors and all the other Tisobana cheetahs such as Giri and Otapa and Virya, all the other cheetah seekers?
Upana is another reality, right, which is not citta and mental faculties.
It's anama. It's not citta, it's anama though. It's that is experienced. Yes.
Cheetah. So, cheetah is nama or no?
Cheetah is nama.